Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
Recently in an airport, George W. Bush was, former president George W. was going through, walking through with all his aides, entourage going through, and he saw an old man there with a brown robe, a stick, big, long, white hair, and he turns to his aides and says, "Wow, that looks like Moses." So he called out, hey, Moses!" And the old man just kept on walking. And George W. turns to his aides and says, "Don't you think that looks like Moses?" And his aides were like, "Yeah, actually it does." And so George goes right up to the man and says, hey, Moses, stop, I want to have a talk to you." And the man just keeps on going. And George W. is getting a little bit infuriated by this time, so he grabs one of the biggest secret security guys that he could find and says, "Look, go over, cross that man and say, are you Moses?" And so the man walks over, gets right next to this old man, white hair, big robes, you know, the stick, and he says, "Are you Moses?" And the man turns around, stops, and looks at him and says, "Yes, actually, I am Moses. I spent 40 years and wandering in the desert with a group of complaining and troublemaking people. We ate the same thing that whole time for 40 years, no variety in our diet. I ended up leading my people into the only place in the whole Middle East where there was no oil. That is the last time I ever speak to a bush." I was hoping some of you were going to laugh anyway, so that was good. Well, we come today to the fourth but of Moses. The fourth excuse, rationale that he offers in an attempt to be excused from the call of God. And we've covered now three others, and I want to give thanks to Mark and to Shane and to Tyler who took the time to listen to what the Spirit is saying to our church and then to bring that forth in a way in which we could understand. So they have my thanks. If you remember, we've been focusing attention on this pivotal time when God appears to Moses, as we saw in the fourth description or the movies, that God is saying to Moses, "I want you to do something really significant for my people. I want you to take them out of slavery. I want you to deliver them from under the oppression of Pharaoh. I want you to take them away from there. I want you to bring them to the land that I prepared for them, the land that they were supposed to be in, the land that I have set aside for them." And Moses is God's chosen leader for that particular task. Moses, though, has serious doubts about his ability to enact that call on his life and to function as that leader. And so he does all in his ability he can to negate that task. He does not want this. And I thought that was a pretty good representation of, "Oh, send someone else, will you please?" So, 3 weeks we've had Moses saying, "Who am I to do this?" Secondly, "Who are you, God? What is your name? Who shall I say you are?" Thirdly, "What if they don't believe me or don't listen to me?" And so today we get to one that is really quite common and quite familiar for all of us. It has to do with Moses' rhetoric skills. In other words, Moses telling the Lord he cannot speak very well. He's not in the realm of Winston Churchill. He's not Billy Graham. He's not Martin Luther King. He can't do this. Or so he thinks. If you have your Bibles, can you turn with me to Exodus chapter 4? And we're going to be from verse 10 in Exodus chapter 4. This is where we pick up the story where we hear the excuse number 4 or the fourth but. I named them four buts because it just would stick in your minds, rather than five excuses or whatever. So five buts. Interestingly, these excuses are not just a Moses thing. Have you twigged to that so far? is a common to all humanity, and they apply to us just as much. And I'll get to that in a moment, but let me read to you the passage from Exodus 4 and beginning at verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." And God's reply. And the Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." Beautiful words, eh? So arriving at excuse number 4, we get the feeling that Moses is working pretty hard at this point to wriggle out of the task that God has for him. It reminds me particularly of my kids when I say, go to bed or clean up your room. Any parents have a similar sort of thing? When my kids were little, we had a number of stock line excuses. And they were, my toe hurts. I can't go to bed because my toe hurts. Anybody heard that one before? Oh, that was a new one on me. My stomach hurts. I tried that one lots of times when I was a kid. Or clean up your room. It's so messy. Who did this? You know, this massive excuse that someone else broke into their room and messed it all up. Oh, dear. I suppose you'd never have done that as a kid. Things that our kids forget is that we were kids as well. And so we tried these things on with our parents too, didn't we? You know, when I was working through this, when I was preparing for today, I found many commentators who believed that Moses' words are not so much an objection rather than a good old-fashioned excuse. But I'm not so sure. I think I'll take a contrary opinion. Let me make my case about this. I think Moses was really genuine in his reason for not being able to speak to Pharaoh. Maybe he did really struggle. Maybe he did have a stutter. And that was really true. It is said that the Egyptian court attenders and spokesmen were well known for their eloquence. And maybe here, what we find is Moses only too well remembering what it was like in the court of Pharaoh and knowing his present capacities and knowing that he couldn't measure up. Maybe he had some experience in the past. He spent so many years out in the desert that he'd forgotten the etiquette of the royal court and he wasn't keen to walk back into that and relearn what it was all about. You know, 40 years is a long time to be wandering in the desert, isn't it? And here's a man at 80 being called to do something really significant. It's easy for us to say, well, he was just making an excuse and not to spend too long in his shoes. And if we think from his perspective, I think we'd find ourselves easily there. I'd probably say, first of all, oh Lord, I'm 80. I think I've done enough. You know, I've known lots of people who, when they had to say something publicly, would go to pieces and would stutter and would shake. I remember one particular person who has my full admiration, but when they stood up to read the scriptures, you could see the lectern shaking every time they did it. They were so afraid. It's one of our greatest fears, isn't it? Public speaking. Who likes public speaking? There's a few of us that do, yeah. I've taken note. But this narrative goes much deeper than that because we are human and in our most honest moments, we realise, we understand, we know our failings, our faults and our frailties. You know, this is me all the time. I got to tell you. I fail all the time. I forget important things. I say the wrong things. I get angry at many things. I'm self-indulgent. I'm overly self-absorbed. And I'm sure if I let my wife up on the stage, she would tell you a few more things, or some members of the staff might tell you a few more things as well. But here's the thing. I suspect you are just like me. If you're honest, that is. But see, God doesn't really care what you think you are. God doesn't really care what little you have. God isn't concerned about your skill base. Doesn't look at your CV before he gives you a task. He doesn't worry about your portfolio. He's not even concerned about your experience. He even is not worrying about your failings. God even forgives our history and counts it as if it doesn't hold against us. How's that? I know that some of us are actually walking wounded. I know that some of us have deep running issues that hamper our lives. I know that some of us just make excuses for all sorts of things. I know that some of us count ourselves out of the economy of God. But irrespective of that, God wants our willingness. God is not asking for perfection, but for openness. Openness to his will, availability to do what he's asking us to do. And to align our desire with his. I know this is one of the themes that this comes through all the five buts of Moses, but I'm going to repeat this today and next week, because I want us to be open that despite our failings, that on top of our excuses, that beyond our inexperience and our history, God has a task and a purpose for all of us, and a place in which we can serve in where he has. And I'm convinced of that. I'm utterly convinced of that. 100% convinced of that. That each of us have a God-given task to undertake. God has put us here for a reason. There's something that we have to do. The New Testament, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, when we align ourselves with Jesus, when we throw our lot in with Christ, there's a whole different set of agendas that we pick up and that come into play. Many of us have actually found out what that is, and I see that modeled around us, and I see little glimmers of the Jesus light bursting through all sorts of places, and I see ways in which the kingdom is represented and its ethics are worked out. But there are heaps of us, many of us, who are yet to realize our full potential. And we struggle and we stumble around and we count ourselves out because we think we are unworthy. I am slow of speech and not eloquent of tongue. We don't think that God would be interested in me or what I have to offer or what I have to do. We think that our pastors then counted us out and it's no good anymore. Is that you, Ed? Is that what you really believe? That God would play some cosmic joke on your life, that everybody else would be included except for you? Let me assure you, my friends, let me tell you the truth. You are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has already prepared in advance for you to do. That's the truth. Let me make it a little bit more personal. Let me encourage you to do this, to put your name in there instead of you. And so it would go like this. Jonathan is God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for him to do. I'm going to ask you to do something, not to sit there passively, but to say it with me, but to insert your name in there. Can you do that with me? You're brave enough to do that? I've got a few nods, no shakes yet. So let's try this, okay? Jonathan is God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for him to do. How does that feel? I wonder what would happen if we repeated that for 7 days. Can I ask you to do that? To say your name and to say that verse from Ephesians 2, verse 10, every morning. Look yourself in the mirror and say it. You game to give that a crack? Okay, let's try that. When Moses offers his fourth reason to God, this is what he was saying. I have too much baggage, too many skeletons, too little skill. It's been too long, and my persona, my life has been redefined by the current environment which I'm in, the desert. It's more than an excuse. It's way more than an excuse. It's a deeply held belief about himself. I think his words, "I cannot speak," convey a meaning that we can all understand and relate to. I just haven't got enough time. I haven't got enough for you to waste your time with me, Lord. You don't need me, Lord. Get someone else. Get someone who's ready, who's prepared. You know, is that you? This is not how God sees it, though. My friends, if I was to be known for one saying in my life, this is the saying I'm about to say to you. You've probably heard it from me before, that I'd like to be known for. Even on the bottom of my tombstone. I told you I was sick. No, it's this. An ordinary person in the hands of an extraordinary God makes an amazing difference. An ordinary person in the hands of God makes an extraordinary difference. That is what I believe. That is what I stand for. And I'll say that again. If there's one thing that I've learned from reflecting on this encounter with Moses, is this: you plus God is enough. You plus God is enough. I don't know about you, but that brings great heart to me when I remember the things that I've done and the things that I haven't done. It brings me great encouragement. God can use me. God can take me from where I'm at, that little that I have, and together, God and I, we can make a difference in this world. We can make a difference. We can change lives. We can be an instrument of God. God takes my faults, my failings, doesn't leave me there, but redeems me, restores me, changes me, opens me up into something much more than what I would be otherwise, and continues to change me. How good is that? It's called the gospel. He redeems us and takes us. This is incredible news, that God does not leave us alone or leave us to our own devices. That promise to Moses, "I will be with you," echoes through all the ages, even at this moment. Never leave you nor forsake you. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. But he draws us and calls us, and then if we're willing, takes us on a path that leaves us transformed closer to real humanity than what we've ever understood and ever known before. You know, most of us know the real truth about ourselves, that we are charlatans, that we are a veneer, that we are imposters, that if people only knew the real truth about us, they would be horrified. But this is not what the gospel says. The gospel tells us that those things that we really know the truth about us are actually lies from the pit of hell. And we need to reject them and send them back to the place where they have come from. They're generated by the Prince of Lies, whose purpose is to deceive and maim and torture. And the whole result is to hold you down and to squash you and let you not be what you were intended to be. The gospel tells us that we don't have to be bound by such bondage anymore, because the Prince of Peace came to set us free from all that. Do you believe that? Yeah, amen. That he came to bind up the wounded, to heal the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And if that's not good news to your own self-talk, then I don't know what is. That's what we need to remind ourselves of every single day. I'm not going to go on much longer, but I want to say something about God's answer to Moses. We find it in the next couple of verses, in verse 11. God's answer is strong and direct. I've already read it to you. The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will be with you and help you to speak and teach you what to say." You know, I think if anything, Moses' mistake was that he forgot who he was talking to. He didn't understand the scope of the God he was in front of. This is not some localized deity that he's home in the desert of Midian. This is the creator of the creation, the originator of the origin. This is the author of life, the whole deal he was in front of. And Moses had forgotten that it was God was the one who instilled his mouth, his lungs, his vocal cords. Even though he must have heard about God from his childhood, even though he'd just seen the visible powers of God, Moses had a really small picture of this God. And so God reminds him of the real reality. So the question then comes to us. How big is our God? Is God just localized in particular areas of your life? A Sunday morning God? A car park God? Just when you need him, just at a particular moment? Is God bigger than your failings? It's a big question, isn't it? Can God heal your wounds? Can God redeem your past? Can God take your ordinary, simple life, just the way it is life, and transform it into an agent of healing in the whole world? I think many of us know the answer to that. But the question, though, is we know it here. Do we know it here? Can God help you to speak his words in the world? Can God direct your tongue? Can God take what you offer and make it holy? The answer is yes, he does. He can. He has been doing so. He'll continue to do so. You know, every follower of Jesus doesn't need to be an eloquent spokesperson. Not everyone is a Moses, thank goodness, or a preacher, or a gifted evangelist, but everyone has something to contribute in the kingdom of God. And there is the same Lord, just as there is many gifts of service. So here's the homework I have for you today. On top of saying that once per week, that little saying from Ephesians 2:10, here's the homework that I want to encourage you with. With a trusted other, or with your small group, explore where God wants you to serve, and in being as honest as you can, be a truth teller as to the reasons why you think you are hampered in that ministry. Did you get it? Yep. Okay. So explore with someone else or your small group the things that God is calling you to, where God wants you to serve. And then as honest as you can, tell the truth as to why you think you are unqualified to serve in that area. My friends, let me say this. When we have a place, when we find our place in God's world, we have a task. And when we find that task, when we do that task, it brings joy like you wouldn't know, satisfaction like we're yet to understand, and meaning and purpose that we all deeply desire. Amen. The band are going to sing us a song. Please remain seated as we listen.